What are you doing?
It's not in here. Is this all clean?
The LCPR meeting will come to order May 22nd. Welcome to the committee. We have several items on the agenda this morning, and we have time constraints again. But we will go forth with, as best we can, adopting the April 2nd minutes of the meeting. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I so move the April 2nd, 2019 minutes.
Any questions or corrections? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The motion is adopted. The second item on the agenda is approval of the appendix for the LCPR standards for actuarial work. Ms. Lencheski.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. This is something that needs to be taken care of by the commission, because last session in the 2018 bill, we removed some assumptions. If you recall, the statute was probably about three additional pages because we had salary increase and payroll growth assumptions set forth in that. The decision was made by the commission and the legislature and the governor to remove those assumptions from the statutes and put them into an appendix to our standards for actuarial work. The motion in front of you includes a background note to that effect. It cites the statute, which requires the appendix, and then some other information about what is included in the appendix in addition to salary increase and payroll growth assumptions. In addition, we've included mortality and inflation. If you want to have a look at the appendix, it is attached. It's the about 8-page document or so, and it goes through each of our pension plans and sets forth the relevant assumptions that were drawn primarily from the actuarial valuations for each of the plans. These were also reviewed by the pension plans and their actuaries in some cases, and we made changes, and this should be in pretty good shape and ready for approval by the pension commission.
Any questions? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to make a motion to move LCPR 19-M1, approval of the appendix for the LCPR standards for actuarial work.
Questions? Senator Sinjum.
So, Madam Chair, you'd be proud to know I read this last night, and on page 3 of this, I noticed that the legislators have a presumed 5% annual increase in pay. Is that right? it's not to be answered. It's just interesting. That's my question or my comment.
Thank you.
Where's the money?
Any other comments?
Where's the money?
All in favor of adopting LCPR 19-M1, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Third item on the agenda is LCPR 19-035, pension bill draft. Ms. Lencheski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you have the draft bill in your materials. Also, there is a summary prepared by Chad Burkett and I that does a sort of a narrative walk through the articles by article. And then it also, later on, about halfway through, it provides a list of all the source bills and amendments. And then we also have provided a section-by-section summary that concludes this memo. It's about 8 pages or so of that. So this is the, we're calling it a pension bill draft. It does contain all of the bills and amendments approved by the commission through its last meeting on April 2nd, except for the following provisions that have been removed. The reason for that is that they require funding or they have a financial impact on a public employer. And as many as we know, some of these have appeared elsewhere in other bills, or there's been a decision that that it would be a good idea to remove them so we can proceed with the rest of the bill. Those items are an employer contribution rate increase for the Minnesota State IRAP, Individual Retirement Account Plan, that had been Article 5, Section 13 in our Delete Everything omnibus bill that was reviewed at the last meeting, but that has been removed from this bill. In addition, the funding for the Minneapolis Employee Retirement Fund, also known as MRF, that was included in the bill, that is the state contribution to PARA for that unfunded liability. That too has been removed. That was about $10 million per year, 2 years in the biennium, for a total of $20 million. And then the final third item that has been removed is state aid to local governments for PARA contributions. This relates back to 1997 increase in employer contributions. This has been ongoing since that time and had been due to expire next June of 2020. It had been an extension of that aid till 2048. That provision, too, has been removed. That had been Article 9 in the prior omnibus bill. A couple of provisions have been modified from when you saw them last. The one modification relates to the special legislation that we had done. This was Senator Latz's bill. This was reviewed and considered at the last meeting, included in the bill. And since that time, we have needed to make some changes to that. So those appear in this bill. Secondly, the other provision that has been modified in a way that's reasonably insignificant, but has been approved by Representative Detmer and others involved in that. That revised some language in the provisions that allow for military service to be purchased under the PARA plans. I will turn this over to Chad to go through Articles 1 and 2, and we'll kind of go back and forth here to make this a little more interesting, if possible, if you hear from different people.
Okay. And members of the commission, I would like you to know that Mr. Burkett and Ms. Lencheski didn't take this upon themselves to just do a draft engrossment. I requested the draft engrossment so we didn't have to mess around with amendment after amendment and changes in that sense. And I thought it would be much easier for us to work off of a draft engrossment. So thank you for carrying out my wishes. Please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm going to start with Article 1 and 2 and then turn back to Ms. Lencheski. I'm just going to keep things pretty high level, since this is all stuff that we've heard before, except that I'll point out where there's any changes. Article 1 is the Minnesota State Retirement System administrative provisions, really administrative and technical in nature. Just three things that are most substantive are clarifying voting rights for members in the unclassified plan so that they can elect board of directors, establish a process that clearly defines when a benefit application has been filed with MSRS, and then correcting an error in the 2018 omnibus bill that applies to Fairview members. Article 2 deals with the Public Employees Retirement Association. This has three provisions in it. The first is the military service credit purchase provision that has two sections, one that just creates a new notice for the USERRA federal laws that were already on the books, and then the other that expands the ability for members to purchase service credit that they have either for a leave while they're in covered employment or that occurred before their covered employment. And it allows them to purchase up to 5 years. That second section does have one of the few changes that's in the bill, and you can find that change on page 13, line 16. And what we've done there is we've replaced the words "the initial period of enlistment, induction, or call to active duty without any volunteer extension." And we've replaced that with a simpler and more easy to understand one or more periods of service. The second provision relates to the phased retirement option. This makes the phased retirement option that PARA runs permanent. It currently is scheduled to sunset on June 30th of 2019. It makes a few administrative changes as well. And then the third provision is the modification of Minneapolis payments for the PARA PNF Relief Association. What this does is increases the amount that PARA pays, that Minneapolis pays on behalf of those two relief associations that were merged into PARA in 2011. Basically, it's a result of an agreement, and the agreement is to stabilize contributions for Minneapolis by using a higher fixed contribution rate. So that's Article 2, and I'll turn it over to Ms. Lincheski.
Ms. Lincheski.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. Article 3 deals with the PARA statewide volunteer firefighter plan. Currently, there is no ability for a municipality to leave that plan. So the change in the law would allow for a municipality to terminate participation in the plan, to fully vest the firefighters in their pension benefits, and then allow for immediate distributions. Only in the case, though, where the fire department has been closed down. In that case, we've got former firefighters waiting for their benefits. This one focuses in, the reason for it actually is because of Brevard Township. They are in that situation and they would like to be able to distribute benefits to their former firefighters instead of having them wait until age 50. Article 4 deals with volunteer firefighter relief associations. These are the recommendations of the State Auditor's Fire Relief Association Working Group. These aren't terribly substantive, but they do make important changes, tweak the statutes, make some administrative changes, some clarifications. Perhaps the most significant is it now permits defined benefit relief associations to vest firefighters in their benefits over 10 years rather than the previously or currently required 20-year period. So that is a benefit, I think, for relief associations that would like to be able to pay out larger benefits quicker. A couple other changes relating to supplemental benefits that they are going to be paid to be able to be paid to designated beneficiaries in states in addition to surviving spouses. And then there's some clarifications as to what benefit level applies when someone goes out on leave or becomes disabled. Another important change, not from the the State Auditor's Working Group, but from the City of Austin, one that you've heard about many times over the past several years. The City of Austin is allocating fire state aid between its relief association and its contributions to PARA Police and Fire for its full-time firefighters. Current law does not allow for that. Current law would require that if you have a relief association, the municipality is required to pay over its entire fire state aid. This exemption from that will allow for the City of Austin to continue to do what it has been doing for many years, and it will make that change indefinite until perhaps a general law is enacted that will allow for allocation of fire state aid. I'll turn it over to Chad for the Minnesota State changes.
Mr. Burkett.
So Article 5 has the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities retirement provisions related to the Individual Account Retirement Plan, or IRAP. The first provision is the increase of the employee contribution. That's a response to the noncompliance of the plan as it relates to TRA. The increase for members that would immediately be eligible to switch to TRA is from 4.5% to 7.5% of their pay, and that's effective July 1, 2019. The members who aren't eligible see a phase-in that completes in 2024. The second provision is the extension of the early separation incentive program, which is scheduled to expire on June 30th of 2019. That program then is made permanent. And then the third is just the administrative and technical provisions, and that's the majority of the article. I'll turn it back over to Ms. Lincheski.
Ms. Lincheski.
Chair Murphy, finishing off the bill with Article 6, these are generally applicable retirement plan changes. The most significant, I think, is the one relating to the City of St. Paul and the St. Paul School District. Currently in law, there is a prohibition on contributions to supplemental pension plans unless there is a specific exception in the statute. It was discovered that a number of our trade union employees are having contributions made on their behalfs to a number of multi-employer plans. These are not included in the list of exceptions, so making these two employers violating state law as it relates to these contributions. So the law gives them a pass for another year to make the contributions and gives us all time to look at a legislative solution or whatever other solution we can come up so that come up with so that they are not violating state law on that. Article 7 is the special legislation for one individual. I mentioned this earlier. This is Senator Latz's bill. This allows an employee who, an employee of Minnesota State, who should have been given an opportunity to elect to move from the IRAP to TRA years ago. It's unclear whether she received that election, but we are now allowing her to make that election today or when the bill is enacted, if the bill is enacted. If that happens, the individual can make that election, can make some employee contributions that would have been made to TRA had she been in TRA for the time, and then also to make a payment of the actuarial value of this additional benefit. The law currently, excuse me, the bill currently would allow that payment to come from the IRAP. TRA has expressed some concerns with that money in that the IRAP currently has some legal noncompliance issues it's trying to resolve. So it isn't a good idea for TRA to accept these funds, and TRA may want to reject them, in which case the change in the law then, or in the bill, would allow for this constituent to come up with other funds from other pre-tax sources, such as a 403B plan. She is willing to make that change, willing to find the money. She's got it in her 403B plan. All of the parties involved, so Minnesota State, TRA, Senator Latz, and the constituent are all in agreement with this change, so this will protect TRA from having to accept these funds. The final article is a bunch of technical corrections, many pages of technical corrections. They primarily relate to the 2018 bill and some conforming changes that needed to be made, some language that was not very clear coming out of that bill, and just taking care of some housekeeping changes. And that's it.
Any questions? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did have a question on the first article. It was the correcting the error of the 2018 omnibus retirement bill for the Fairview employees and the calculation of the augmentation. Can we just have a little explanation on that, how that happened?
Mr. Burkett?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the error in the 2018, I guess the deal in the 2018 omnibus bill with regard to Fairview is that they would, that their enhanced augmentation would reduce at a phase out, I guess, from 4.5% starting in 2018 and then going down to zero over the next 5 or 6 years. The deal was that they would keep their past augmentation that they had already earned. And when we're looking at the language that was implemented, it had, I think, erroneously deleted some language needed to keep their past augmentation that they had already earned for past years, and this just puts that language back.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions by the members of the panel? Senator O'Driscoll, Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And following off of Senator Rosen's comment, that would, Mr. Burke, make that consistent with what we did with the PERA and others as it relates to augmentation. Accrued augmentation would remain, future augmentation either eliminated as it was under PERA and the like, and the reduction that we just overviewed with the Fairview program. Is that correct?
Mr. Burkett.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you for reminding us of that. Representative Freiberg.
Thank you. I'm also a member of the State Government Finance Committee where this was just discussed, and there was some discussion in there about the PERA issue. Just wondering sort of what the plan is to address that and how that might work. This, I guess, question is for you, Madam Chair.
I would prefer to answer the questions and take testimony on what's before us at this time, and then talk about that issue after.
Okay.
Are there any further discussions? Any other further issues? Is there anyone in the audience that wants to come forth and point out anything that's in the draft engrossment or bring to our attention?
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope we are going to have testimony on the Senator Latz, the Minnesota State System employee, and the agreement that has been brought forward on that.
Senator Frantz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Rosen, I just texted Senator Latz. I don't know if I expect any testimony to be brought forth on that provision. Okay.
Ms. Lincheski.
Thank you, Chair Rosen. I just wanted to mention that after the meeting, so this came up as an amendment at our last meeting. We had not been able, staff, to do the usual review that we do and investigate the facts and try to understand exactly what happened back then in 1995, I think. We did that investigation. We also looked into the legal background for this, and we did provide a memo that I hope is in the packets. So that is a more complete explanation of the legal analysis, what we think happened in 95.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Rosen, Senator Rosen.
Got it. I was just hoping in your review, it says the revisions have been reviewed and accepted by Senator Latz, constituent representatives of the Minnesota IRAP and TRA. And it would be nice, since there has been discussion since our previous pension commission hearing, to have testimony on that and an agreement verbally for the record.
Is there anyone that will come down and talk about that? And do they agree that it's okay for the employee part of our proposal, with the idea that the employer part is going to be analyzed at a later time? No one from the system here? Or from the employees group? Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the commission. My name is Derek Hughes. I'm the Assistant Director for Total Rewards with Minnesota State. We did have discussion with members of the commission staff, both Ms. Lincheski and Mr. Burkett, discussing the concern around the rollover of the IRAP to the TRA plan in this process, given the changes we're trying to make and some suggestions with meeting federal compliance of the employee contribution rates needing to match in order for that rollover to occur, for the employee, rather said differently, for that employee to choose that rollover to occur. So the discussion, as I understood it from Ms. Lincheski and Mr. Burkett, was to allow TRA, possibly allow TRA to not receive that rollover of the, or decline rollover of that IRAP amount, and or the employee would be allowed to use their supplemental or 403B tax sheltered annuity funds to buy back that service credit. And that information was discussed with the employee, I do believe, and we're all in agreement that that is a suitable course of action to resolve the concern.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. Sir.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, my name is Chris Dale. I'm Senior System Director for Labor Relations with Minnesota State, and I have nothing to add to Mr. Hughes's comments.
Mr. Stoffel, you had a little part of this. Ms. Barth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Rachel Barth, and I'm the Legal and Policy Director for the Teachers Retirement Association, and we just want to echo what Derek Hughes just testified to, that we're all in agreement with this new amendment. We just wanted the discretion to accept or not accept that rollover, basically depending on if this bill passes and brings those employee contribution rates into conformity, because without that conformity, there is that IRS issue, and we didn't want to accept an ineligible rollover and put our assets at risk. So that it just gives us the discretion to accept or not.
Mr. Stoffel.
Morning, Madam Chair and members. Jay Stoffel, Executive Director of Teachers Retirement Association. And I would testify that Rachel Barth did a fabulous job today. Nothing more to add.
Senator Rosen, okay?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or people that want to address anyone else that comes before us? Is there anyone that wants to talk about any other part of this bill? All right. Representative Freiberg, you're asking about the PERA and the taxing authorities part of the bill that we hoped would be in there and is not in here. And we thought it was going to be somewhere else. And we have no word that it is somewhere else, whereas we do somehow know that the other two funding issues are going to be somewhere else. We talked about the issue when Gary Carlson and Keith Carlson and Matt Hilger and Mr. Rice brought to our attention the fact that the 1997 legislation that was PERA pension aid to 1,500 units of government taxing authorities across the state was going to sunset on June 30th, 2020. And we talked about that at two different pension commission meetings. And I brought it to the attention of the people in the House Tax Committee, and I know that Senator Rosen brought it to brought it up in discussion in the Senate at various times. And this goes back to the issue of targets and governors. I've been ranting about it for 6 years at least in this commission and pointing it out especially ever since we saw how well it worked when Speaker Thiessen first put a target on pensions in the negotiations at the end of the year for pensions. And we saw that when the governor's office put pensions in target, things worked a lot better for the Pension Commission and the bills that the Pension Commission could hear, rather than relying on them funding the typical funding the state agency gets. Pension target is a promise made, a promise kept. And this commission can do much better work when we have targets known from the beginning. And it was my hope and my rants, and you've heard my speeches before, about the need for the executive branch to include pensions as a line item target, not as part of just the agency's budgets. That didn't happen, and it hasn't happened. And in the talks about targets, we had louder words than we should have had at the last meeting when the word target came up. And I apologize for that. And I apologize to each and every one of you that I haven't tried harder to get targets. But I've been working at it, but it hasn't happened. And we need all our voices to work at that at a different time. But I'm still hopeful that something's going to happen. Because as I said, 1,500 taxing authorities have counted on us and has worked wonderfully for them. And the problem that exists that many people don't understand, and that a memo that some people have seen that went out was incomplete when it said the pension commission can make the decision in the next legislative session starting in February, because the termination of the deadline goes until June 30th, 2020. And so we've got plenty of time to correct it in the next session, right? Except for what most of us didn't realize or didn't understand or didn't click until yesterday when I read that memo that said we have plenty of time to correct it. I thought, I don't think we do have any time to correct it by tax law, because the law says it's terminated on June 30th. But tax law of how they levy, have to announce their levies for the future starts in August, September of 2019, and they have to be set by December of 2019, so that the monies that a tax authority receives from the state for the PERA responsibility promise can be kept. The money they receive on December 31st, 2019 is the money they spend from January 1st to June 30th. So no new money will be coming for July. And so that has to be in their tax levy statements starting in August, September through December, where they're alerting their taxpayers, oh, your property taxes are going to go up now because we're not receiving aid from the state. And that since the August or the September to December window is shut, that's a 2-year promise that it'll come out of their taxpayers' funding rather than from the state, as it has been done since 1997. And I'm still hoping that somebody will think that's important enough today that there can be an amendment on the floor in the tax special tax or the special session laws when we come to special session. But for today, it can't be done in this bill. And so what I hear with the lack of discussion on all these wonderful other articles that we've worked out, that have been worked out as directed, that we pass this and continue to work on the issue that you asked about, Representative Freiberg.
Thank you.
So, is there any further discussion? Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for calling this meeting to, thank you to Madam Chair and Senator Rosen as well. I think that it's really important that we continue with our pension bills, even if we can't resolve all the issues, all the money issues, as you mentioned, because I just don't like us to see us get so behind on a lot of these administrative procedures, because the pension groups really rely on us providing that change, those technical changes, and individuals rely on us passing pension bills. And I think it's really important that we do a pension bill, at least with the agreed upon items. So I was nervous about this. I've talked to Senator Murphy about it, hoping we would have it. And so I'm very happy to see this bill today, and I hope it'll be introduced into the special session. I'm assuming it will be, and we should have another unanimous vote like we did last year.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank you. I want to thank Senator Rosen. I want to thank everybody on this commission for their dedication and professionalism to this topic. The Pension Commission was created for a very specific purpose, and that was to deal with complex related issues that members of the legislature, the 201 elected officials, maybe don't have that level of expertise to work with. Over the years, this commission has dug in, taken very difficult issues, vetted them, worked them, massaged them, pushed them, pulled them, every acronym, every cliche you can think of, to try to get to a resolution. I have to tell you that I am pleased with the policy portion of this bill. What I want this commission to consider before we leave today is to be making some statements on the record as it relates to MRF, PERA, and the IRAP-related topics. As I see it, we have in statute the PERA portion that is going to expire. We have made promises to those communities who rely on that reimbursement from previous actions in this legislature to continue to receive that funding. They are going to fall victims of something that is not of their making. We are, however, outside of the recommendation of this commission in other bills carrying the fourth or fifth revision of how to deal with the MRF merger into the PERA program here in the state of Minnesota. It is not broken. It is not underfunded. One side of the agreement said they didn't like the way that the payout was happening. If we only have limited funds that are available for us, why are we directing it to one plan that isn't broken? One of the parties just wants to renegotiate their position. And in the wake of that are going to be all of the communities that would have gotten the PERA reimbursement. In effect, they're going to be subsidizing that change under MRF. As Representative Murphy so amply pointed out, by asking those local taxpayers to continue to pay additional property taxes because that relief isn't going to be there. That's not leadership. That's not why I came here and asked to be on the Pension Commission. When one group doesn't like a deal that's working, and that we've negotiated and renegotiated, and it's become a political hot potato around here, and others are now going to end up in the wake of that. I will be voting yes on the policy part of this because I'm going to separate my disdain for the way that that process has been handled on the finance part, and support the work that this group did and every one of my counterparts on the Senate and the House who've dedicated Tuesday nights throughout this entire session after a full day of legislative business to come and to work on this issue, this very important issue. Senator Rosen, you and I have been connected on this for a long time, along with Senator Pappas and Representative Murphy trying to put together, and we were able to get up and over the hill some pretty major work last year. If we want to maintain our standing with our colleagues, I think this group needs to today adopt a policy statement or go on the record stating that we would have prioritized the funding, ABC, CDA, I don't know, but we need to have a conversation about that. Because our authority, our jurisdiction for making recommendations is being whittled away when in deals away from this recommendation, from this body, are being made. The next time the goalpost gets moved even further. Right now, my priorities would be PERA, for the reasons I stated and for the reasons that Representative Murphy has stated. Number two would be to work with the IRAP program. To me, there's some inequities that are in that. If you happen to be a professor and belonging to TRA, the state contributes more, or the local employer, Minnesota State, contributes more than if you happen to be in the IRAP program. The state's contribution is less. Both groups are performing the same job. It makes sense that those individuals would receive from their employer a similar contribution, or at least striving toward that. The third, and very distant third on my list, is the political hot potato of MRF, because, again, one side doesn't like the way that the deal came. The other two that I just mentioned are going to fall in the wake of this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not going to engage Representative O'Driscoll on the MRF issue, even though my understanding of the deal or what the deal was is different than what you stated. I don't think this needs to be an either or. I think there is adequate revenue in the tax bill that they could have solved at least two out of three of these problems. And the tax bill, to my knowledge, is not closed. And I know that there have been conversations and a lot of going around about trying to address this MRF issue. And I don't recall, Ms. Lincheski, is that a $10 or $20 million?
It's a $10 million per year.
Per year.
A total of 20.
For 20, yeah. I mean, I think we all could, maybe that's something we could do as a pension commission, is just send word informally or formally to the governor and the leaders and the tax conference committee leaders that we want them to fund this promise to communities for PERA.
Any other comments? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it is truly an honor to serve on this pension commission with you as chair and all the members, and we have done some amazing work with folks around this table and folks in this room. And I do believe that Representative Driscoll said it right. My priority was the para. I think that was the direction to go. But it's who's in the room at the time. And MRF got the attention that was in the room. But we all hold some responsibility in this room. We passed a massive pension reform last year, and this para issue came up this year without any notice last year that I can recall. It takes years to get reform massaged and everybody comfortable, and you just don't jerk the wheel very fast. So there's a lot of blame. There's some blame around this room. I certainly take some for not being able to get the para through. But we also, all of us in this room, have to remember you cannot bring issues this massive and this important at the ninth hour. So let's keep our communication lines open. We've been very good about that. Let's make sure that we have timely and succinct meetings, commission meetings, so we can review these and get everybody apprised and comfortable with where we're going. Because I think that was the biggest issue this year, is that people did not understand the consequences of not funding para. People did not understand the consequences about MRF. And those were the two big gorillas in the room. They really were. And I was there for a portion of it. And it I will say I'm disappointed, because I do think those 1,500 entities deserve to have this move forward, but we just couldn't do it. So I'm in full support of the reform that we do have in this summary of the 035. This is important. I think Senator Pappas said it right. We need to continually keep up on our pension obligations, but we cannot be so reactive and expect results. This is a methodical process. We've always been very good about it. Let's continue that.
Any further comments? Anyone from the audience? If not, Senator Rosen, would you like to move to adjourn with the understanding that we may be called back into session,
Madam Chair, do you not want to move the bill and pass it out of the commission?
Yes, and then move to adjourn with the understanding that we may have another meeting today.
So we'd be
or interested. Tomorrow or the next right. day. No, I think we should adjourn if after the vote, so that we can have the vote and this meeting is over. I rethought it.
Oh.
I rethought it.
Okay.
Because I think we should vote on this part, and I think I know what the outcome of the vote might be on the portion that we have here. And so then we will have a definite vote and a definite record of its passage. And then I don't want you to go away thinking we won't have a pension meeting again until June sometime. So I want you to remember that I said we could possibly be called to another pension commission meeting as things go on with the plans for the special session that we don't know when it's going to be. Okay. Representative Freiberg.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if we should recess instead of adjourning, just in case we do decide to come back tonight or today at some point.
I would like to leave the room with the idea at this time that these provisions of the draft engrossment, it has the approval of the Pension Commission as it's written at 10:30 in the and voted on at 10:30 in the morning. And we can't talk about that for sure if we go into recess. So I would feel more, I feel more comfortable, but you may.
I defer to your judgment.
We can, and I don't know about my judgment. But
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I support your decision. We have two different things here. We have what might be the finance stuff that could be coming back, and the policy stuff. At least we know and can show those that we are, as the Pension Commission, are doing our work with what we have control over. And that is the policy related stuff. And then we will deal with whatever the highway brings to us as we get to it.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a comment, too. And Representative Driscoll mentioned a little bit about the process, and there has been a gradual desire or choice to usurp the Pension Commission's authority. And I think we need to go back to the basics and make sure that we do this right, because we make very sound, good, nonpartisan decisions around this table. And that I want to make that state that on the record. We're going back to the process, and we'll make this a priority. So with that, Madam Chair, I would like to make a motion to move the LCPR 19-035 be recommended to pass and sent to general orders. Is that correct?
Be introduced as the bill in the special session.
I would like to revise my motion to be introduced as a bill for special session.
I think that's the one that's the one we should have.
Yeah.
Yes. Any discussion? Okay, there needs to be one more motion, one amendment, a motion to authorize the staff to make technical corrections to LCPR 19-035.
Madam Chair,
necessary.
You either need to do that as an amendment or you need to vote on the motion that's on the table before you can introduce another motion.
We need to do that as an, we need to pass this first one before we pass the motion that Senator Rosen just
okay,
made.
So then she needs to withdraw her motion. You can't have two motions on the table at the same time.
Yes.
I so move. Withdraw my motion.
Okay. Senator Doms.
Oh, I don't think he has the motion.
No, I don't have a comment. I just, okay. No, you were trying to put two motions on the table at the same time, and I just wanted to clarify that we can only have one on the table. Senator Rosen's withdrawn hers, so now your motion, if you would want to move that, now that's available to be moved.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Deems, I am now looking at my agenda. It's got the motion on here. So I move to authorize staff to make technical corrections to LCPR 19-035 as necessary.
Any discussion? All in favor of the Rosen motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
I move that the LCPR 19-035 be adopted as a 2019 omnibus retirement bill.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Hearing more than four votes from both sides of the table, the motion is adopted. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to get the temperature of the Pension Commission based on our discussion about PERA. Are we interested in passing a motion encouraging the funding of the extension of state aid to local governments for the PERA contributions?
Representative O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair, I would support the Pappas motion. I think that even though we don't have something before us, the commission can talk about, for the reasons I articulated and you began with, the importance of the timeliness of that legislation. And I think it's important that we, as a commission, have a position. So,
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Pappas, can you give us a little more clarity? That's not tied to the November forecast. There's no obligation as far as funding in the future.
I'll read the motion that I wrote, and maybe staff might want to modify it. The motion is that the Pension Commission urges the governor, the House and Senate leadership, the chairs and members of the tax working group to extend state aid to local government to cover PERA contributions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to that motion, just so we're clear, we're not talking about recommending any changes to the funding that the governor agreed to with leadership. We're not creating a priority which would threaten that. My concern, obviously, would be disrupting the agreement on dollars that's been reached that we're all hoping to abide by. So I'm just asking the chair and Senator Pappas to clarify. Well, we're not saying make a change to the money in MRF.
Madam Chair.
I did not hear that in there, but Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair and Senator Frantz, no, the tax committee, is my understanding that they are still working and they have discretionary funds besides the global agreement that they could allocate for this purpose.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Are we at odds? You want me over in the Senate?
I do not.
Madam Chair.
I would, no, there would be a void in my life.
Mine too. I know the spirit intent of what Senator Pappas is doing, but the way that that is written, it sounds like it's open-ended, that it'd be 100% reimbursement to local communities for PERA contributions. Perhaps staff could look at the statute and cite that as narrowing it down for the purpose of the motion. It's just open-ended to say for PERA contributions that the state would reimburse. I realize it's technical, we know what we're looking at, but if we want to be specific, it is for that provision that's set to expire in statute. Okay.
Ms. Lincheski, maybe.
Ms. Lincheski.
Thank you, Chair Murphy and Representative O'Driscoll. The statute that we had included previously that has the sunset, and then we had
thought of, the language was to extend it to 2048. That statute is section 273.1385 subdivision 4, and that relates to the para aid dating back to 1997.
Representative Driscoll.
I would defer to Senator Pappas, but I think that helps clarify what the recommendation is from the commission relative to PERA.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas.
So the motion would be more, Senator, Ms. Lincheski, to remove the sunset on the PERA contributions, or the contributions to PERA. Could you, maybe you could just help me with the wording.
Okay. Remove the sunset and extend it to 2048.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Is that a fiscal consequence on that?
Yes.
So we can't really do that.
It has tails.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Madam Chair, we're just urging them to do it. They certainly can consider partial or all or none.
Or other options. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair.
To consider rather than urge.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Our purpose for being organized as a group is a recommendation body, so this is a recommendation to the legislature as a whole from the commission who would have vetted this issue out, and we have no statutory authority to be able to appropriate money. We have no, as you pointed out, no target, no way to spend money. So what we are doing is we are making our recommendations as the members of the legislature on what we see our priorities to be, and that in the Pappas motion, I think accomplishes that.
So
we're alerting them to.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to change the word urges to recommends then instead, and then maybe Ms. Lincheski can finish the sentence.
Ms. Lincheski.
Okay, I'll try this. The motion is that the LCPR recommends to the legislature and the governor and House and Senate leadership that the aid to para be extended, that the aid to the, I'm sorry, local governments for para contributions be extended under section 273.1385 subdivision 4 by removing the sunset in that subdivision.
Okay. Do you need a timeline?
Probably effective immediately. Yeah. Within an immediate effective date upon enactment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds good.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Can you tell me what the, it's 13.5 million for para the first year, and what's the tails? Can somebody give me that?
About 13.8, and then it declines into the future. So it slowly goes down a bit from that.
And Madam Chair, one more thing.
Senator Pappas.
Ms. Lincheski, do we need to have the 2048 date in there?
To remove the sunset, yes. Thank you, Senator Pappas, and we will note that it will expire on the earlier of para becoming fully funded or June 30th, 2048, so we'll use that language if that's all right from the...
Yes.
Prior. Yeah. Great. Thanks.
Is there any questions on the Pappas motion? Pappas-Lincheski motion? Are you clear? All in favor of adopting the motion as suggested, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Thank you for that. Is there any other business to come before the commission at this time? Senator Rosen?
Madam Chair, I so move that, did we make the motion on the, and we passed that, yes. Okay. Okay. Oh, I'm done.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
here.
Thank you.